Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Thanksgiving. 60 years ago, Thanksgiving in Dallas, Texas, November 1962. An event that is very vivid for Paul Gregory, the author of a new book, The Oswalds, An Untold Account of Marina and Lee Oswald. Paul was with the Oswalds that day, Thanksgiving of 1962. More revelatory to me is that his family, his father, and his father's friends were very generous towards the Oswalds. Lee Harvey Oswald, very much displaced by his own biography, by his own background, defecting to Russia, and then reemerging in Texas with his Russian wife, Marina, their child. The Oswalds were taken in by what were called the Dallas Russians, very generous people trying to make the family work in difficult straits, without money, without resources, without a clear plan. Paul Gregory was there during the events in the run-up to the tragedy of November of 63. However, we need to recover what Lee Harvey Oswald, how he conducted himself, what he was, what he imagined in the year 1962 before we get to the assassination story. Paul joins me to remember a dinner that took place in August of 1962, prior to Thanksgiving, in which the Dallas Russians invited Marina and Lee Harvey Oswald to the dinner table at the Oswald family. Paul, a very good evening to you. The dinner in August of 1962. How did Lee Harvey Oswald present himself? My memory of your telling is that he was both voluble and defensive. Good evening to you, Paul.
Good evening, John. Let me do a small correction. The dinner party was in Fort Worth, which is where we live, on Dorothy Lane. So that was the first time that the Oswalds, Marina and Lee and June, whom they brought along, were in our house. This was a rather historic meeting, in my opinion, because it was at that meeting that we introduced Lee and Marina to our friends from Dallas, the Dallas Russians. The Dallas Russians were very conservative, very patriotic Americans, and had to think twice as to whether or not they wanted to break bread with this guy, this ex-Marine who had deserted to the Soviet Union. So there was a kind of a buildup to that August dinner party, but the Dallas Russians did decide that they would like to meet primarily Marina, a waif from the Soviet Union, the land of their birth. And so that meeting occurred, and it was one of the few in which Marina could participate because she knew no English, but she, of course, knew Russian. And the conversation at that dinner table was in Russian. So that was one of Lee's defenses, which was to keep Marina away from people with whom she could communicate. So that's the background of that dinner party. The result of it was the eventual decision for the Oswalds to move from Fort Worth to Dallas. And it also revealed to Marina a side of Lee that she had perhaps not seen before.
My memory is that he had a lot to say that night. Do you remember what he was talking about?
Yes, yes. The agreement, the unspoken agreement was that this was going to be a pleasant evening. No one was going to mention his rather colored past. It was going to be pleasantries, and they would talk about Petersburg, where Marina grew up. So the unspoken deal was that the Dallas Russians were going to behave and not say anything that would upset Lee. That didn't happen because one of the guests, Anna Meller, who had grown up in Ukraine and in the Ukrainian Holodomor famines, could not take Lee and she started asking him questions that he did not want to answer, which was, why did you desert? Why did you go to the Soviet Union? We all here know what the Soviet Union is like. And as she attacked him verbally, he became very agitated. This was not supposed to happen. He became very agitated. He stuttered as he tried to defend his decisions, namely in deserting to the Soviet Union, et cetera, et cetera. His explanation was, well, in America under capitalism, you have inequality, et cetera, et cetera. And it was getting pretty heated. And at that point, we decided that the evening should end. And the evening ended with the Dallas Russians driving Lee and Marina to their home or to their duplex, which was not, let's say, more than 10 minutes from our house. And the importance of that fact is that, as far as Lee was concerned, the Dallas Russians knew where he lived, and they're going to bother him. They're going to break through this this cage in which he was keeping Marina. So that was the meeting of August, let's say, 25 of 1962.
Right. I want to get to Thanksgiving 1962, the last time you saw Lee Harvey Oswald before you saw him on television, the day of. However, your experience with Lee Harvey Oswald and Marina was to help Marina with her English lessons. I believe that began in the summer of 62. Why were you asked, Paul? Who asked you to help them?
Well, it was actually somewhat different. It was me taking lessons from Marina because it was quite unusual during this Cold War period to have someone fresh from the Soviet Union. And I had met Lee through my father, which is another story. But this would be June, mid-June, in mid-June of 62, I began going over to their place regularly. And I saw that they were in dire straits in terms of finances. The baby was sleeping in an open suitcase. They had rickety furniture. They seemed to have enough food, etc. So instead of me taking Russian language lessons from Marina, it ended up I became their guide, their driver, etc., etc. So I spent a great deal of that summer with them, going over to their house and so on.
You drove them around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as I recall, and it was a pleasant outing for Marina.
Oh, yes. Marina enjoyed this. We went to my old high school that Lee had claimed he graduated from, and it came out that he had not graduated at all. We went to the grocery stores. We went to the pharmacies. We went sightseeing. We went to the botanical garden. So for me, it was actually fun. For them, it was not only a change of pace. For them, it was it really, in my opinion, kept them going because they had no car. They had no air conditioning, which in Texas in the summer is a bad thing. So if they wanted to go somewhere, it was either by foot or by bus. And you can imagine the city buses in Fort Worth at that point in time. So I would say it was a very pleasant summer. We avoided contentious issues. And as a result of them becoming acquainted with the Dallas Russians, they moved to Dallas.
Right.
I returned to Oklahoma, where I was an undergraduate. And I did not hear from them again until the events leading up to the Thanksgiving dinner. Exactly 6 years ago.
Yes, let's go to the Thanksgiving. The last time you saw Lee Harvey Oswald, as my memory, is when you made turkey sandwiches together on Thanksgiving 1962. What was your impression about? Do you remember thinking anything particular about him, Paul? Had he changed since you'd seen him in the summer?
Yes. what happened was that Lee had been invited to Thanksgiving dinner at his brother's house in Fort Worth. This is going to be a special event for Lee and the Oswalds in that Lee's half-brother was invited as well. So the whole clan was going to eat Thanksgiving dinner or lunch at the Oswald house, Robert Oswald's house. I didn't know about this, by the way. So I would say around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, our phone rang. It was Marina. Marina began by with these words, and these are, say, verbatim almost. "I did not write the letter, Lee did." That's what she began with. What happened was that I had received a postcard from the Oswalds in Dallas, and that postcard said, you know, "We've moved to Dallas. Here's our address. Why don't you come see us when you have time?" That was the postcard. I read the postcard, which I got in Oklahoma, and the postcard looked to me as if it was very primitively written. So I thought, well, Marina is finally learning some English, and so I will write her a letter explaining the mistake she had made in this postcard. It had no punctuation, it had misspellings. So in good faith, I wrote her a letter, and in that letter I say, "I'm very pleased you're learning English, but you have a lot of mistakes here, and here are the corrections." So when Marina telephoned me on that Thanksgiving afternoon, as I say, her first words were, "I did not write the letter, Lee did." What that meant was that she now understood that all of Lee's promises, that he was going to be a great author, that his historic diary would be published, they would live an affluent life. And here she gets a letter from me mistaking her husband for her. And so it basically revealed that he was never going to be a great author. He was not going to deliver on any of his promises. So it was against this background that I drove over to Robert's house to pick up Lee and Marina in June, take them back to my house. I think the bus didn't leave till about 8 or 9 in the evening. So we had 3 or 4 hours, maybe 3 hours, to sit together. You can imagine the tension that existed during those 2-3 hours, because I now knew that Lee knew,
right,
that I had exposed him to Marina.
And that was the last time you saw him before television. We're going to go a year later to the events of November 22nd, 1963, and the tragedy of the century, the loss of John Fitzgerald Kennedy to the assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. Paul Gregory, the book is The Oswalds, an untold account of Marina and Lee. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.